And welcome back to Building Success Stories with Ann Donnelly. And Ann, you know, we talked about everything. We talked about the who, the what, and now we're going to get kind of into the meat and potatoes of this whole thing here.
Yeah, the where. So when you're identifying your target audience and you're looking at all the various aspects of that audience, your ideal audience that you want to target, you need to look at all these various aspects. So we've covered, as Seth said, who, what, and now the where. So where can be looked at in two different ways, right? Where are they physically, right? So if you're going to meet them in person, and where are they online? And where do they go for their information? So these are really important aspects. So if you first look at like geographic location, and I mentioned in a video that I did about the tools you can use to identify and learn how to engage with your market, one of the things was looking at geographic location. Like, you might be a local business and only be targeting those in your locality. Or you might realize you need to reach the level that you want to reach, you might need to go further afield. So you might hit more counties or a wider part of the state, or go national or even international. When I was in Ireland, I was helping businesses go international, whether they were moving into Ireland or whether they wanted to reach, like a lot of the Irish tourism businesses wanted to get that American market. So that kind of made me a good consultant for them, because I had some insight into that. So you need to know that, because A, you know, is where you're putting your message out, whether it's your website or your social media, or whether you're doing more traditional advertising, are you going to reach them? You know, so a local market, maybe you could use the radio. Like social media, you can kind of hit either local or wider afield, obviously, as far as the internet goes. Newspaper advertising. And one of the things I noticed today, and it was funny because it caught my eye, there's a traffic circle in the middle of Glens Falls that I have to go through a few times a day normally. And there was a sandwich board that said, luxury watch sale today, 7 p.m., which is unusual, right? Because I don't know much about that jewelry store. I mean, I get a lot of my jewelry online now. I've not been, I've looked in the windows before, but like they put it right on the circle so that like people would see it. Now, you shouldn't really be looking, you should be checking to make sure there's no people crossing there where they have that sign, but it was all colorful. So, you know, hopefully their market of people looking for luxury watches would be going around that traffic circle. And then I noticed a bunch of different sandwich boards. So they seem to be really popular in Glens Falls. So like restaurants would have them out. So as people are walking by, you see that, or driving through town, you'd see that, like, a restaurant, like one of my favorites is Lorella's. They have a great happy hour. They have really good food. So they put a sign out when they're open. I don't know if they have the sign out other times. Maybe they're worried it'll get taken or vandalized, that says like when their specials are on. And then you know that they're open. So their market are people that are walking by. But I know he also does some Facebook advertising. And I think he has a website too. But so he doesn't, he's looking for the local market. And then there's local businesses that also cater to tourists coming into town, because this area is quite popular for tourism. So you do need to have a little bit of a further reach, because you're looking to get those people that are not here at the moment but are looking to come into town.
You know, you mentioned kind of the sandwich boards, and yeah, I don't think you can go anywhere in downtown Glens Falls and not see them out and about. I mean, you can see them driving, you know, I drive through the circle twice a day to go into work and then to come out of work, and you can't miss them. And the funny thing is once you're kind of, if it's steady traffic and kind of bumper to bumper, depending on the time of day, at least when I leave the studios here, you always kind of look and say, okay, who has the nicest board? Who stands out the most? You kind of pick your winners in your head. But the watches one, the sale at 7 p.m., that's just oddly a weird time, but it is what it is. I mean, it's it just makes you kind of, you're like in your car and you kind of go, huh? And you kind of just scratch your head at that almost. And sometimes that's what a business is looking for, you to have that odd reaction per se to what's going on, because you're A, you're going to remember that, and B, you're going to kind of keep an eye or a watch out, no pun intended, mm-hmm. on that business. Mm-hmm.
That's true. But also, when you're doing that kind of advertising, you still need to keep your audience in mind. Like, there's always those clever signs out there that are like, oh, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's, you know, like some sort of joke, and then it goes viral, you know, online, because they had a really funny board out there. So whether or not those businesses would then capitalize on the fact that it went viral, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, to be clever, is that your audience, though? So with the watches, like, maybe they were also doing, like, I usually glance through all the local kind of freebie papers, and though I do a lot online, so maybe I don't see all the ads that might be in there. So that's what you got to think about. Like, is my audience reading newspapers? Like, I also write for the Glens Falls and Saratoga business journals. So I'm targeting, like, business owners that I think would be reading that. And they have the hard copy edition, the print edition that's available around town, and also the online edition, which I, you know, is going to get traction further afield. Also makes it easier to share on social media. So again, it's looking at where are your audience. And another thing that's abundant right now are the lawn signs, because of the elections coming up. Obviously, those are always big. But as I was driving up Bay Road, I saw these two signs that were like, watch your speed in a car. And I'm like, what's that? And it wasn't the usual ones that are like neighborhood ones where it's like, watch out for motorcycles or watch out for children playing. This was definitely kind of businessy. And I looked over and it's an insurance company.
That's interesting.
So I saw it. I couldn't tell you the name of the insurance company.
But it caught your eye, though.
It caught my eye. And maybe when I drive back, I might look to see what's the name of the insurance company. So I think that's part of the issue with where you might be located. And it's something to think about, too. Like, where's your physical location? Is that suitable for your business? Mm-hmm. When I was in Ireland, we had a client that opened up this, like, specialty sandwich shop. And they were great sandwiches. But they had a choice between a more central location in the town, but they picked one that was a little bit up the main road that didn't get as much traffic. And I knew the guy that had the restaurant across the street, and he kept saying, that's not going to be a great location for them. Like, he knew from experience, but he was well known, and he was also better at publicizing his business. So, you know, whether that was an issue for them to be located in a less kind of area that didn't have as much footfall, and they didn't, like, they need to have a sandwich board down the street. And you see people do that too. Like, there's different alleyways around this town and many other towns where at the main street, people would have a sandwich board leading people in. So look at those kind of traditional ways of advertising and see how you can employ that in your digital marketing as well. But also regarding physical location is what groups and clubs and things would your ideal audience belong to? And, you know, should you be joining those things too? Like we had said before too, that like people need to see you multiples and multiples of times before it really triggers with them. So they might see an ad that you have in the paper. They might see a post that you've done on Facebook, and then they see you at the Y, and then it might click. You know, people like to do business with people that they know and trust, and just seeing you around, you know, like I'm going to a chamber mixer later tonight, you know, so I'm going to be out there meeting with people that are in my target audience, so then they can get to know me, as well as getting my mailing that went out today, then they get to see me in person. So hopefully that's going to click with people. Like, yeah, I really do need to talk to Anne. There she is. Like, physical Proximity can be an advantage because you're right there in front of them. Like, I've had people that have used other providers and then said, oh, I forgot you did that, because I wasn't in front of them as much as maybe the other people were. Where do they go to get their online sources of information? You know, do they read the local papers online? Do they read other publications online? You know, which channels are they using? If it's a more professional type, you know, if you're B2B and your target audience are more professional, use LinkedIn, because they're more likely to be on LinkedIn. Are they on Instagram? Are they on Facebook? If it's a younger demographic, are they on TikTok? Are they on Snapchat? Like, you have to think about these things, and be where they are. Next time we talk about when, because that's also important too, but we'll stay focused on the where at the moment. What other kind of relevant locations could there be? Can you think of anything? Like at the Adirondack Thunder, you know, are they there? Should you be advertising there and have your signs up there?
I can speak from experience that the Thunder, I mean, they're advertising, and especially around here, I think you have to kind of cover all your bases, right? It's tough in it's different in a bigger market like in Orlando, Florida, or like LA. For kind of this market, for the Thunder's niche to work, they have to have a relationship with the Chronicle, the Post Star. They have to have that traditional media where if you have a team, per se, in California, well, they don't necessarily need to have – they may have the coverage on the media side, but they don't need to have that business relationship of having them be a sponsor or things like that. I mean, even with the Thunder, I mean, they do social media. They hit all their bases there. They do traditional media with the papers. They are around town. Obviously, a big thing, too, with the Thunder is business trades. That you see that a lot anywhere, really. That's another big thing, too. So I guess kind of in this market, in the Glens Falls region, I guess it just kind of depends on, you know, because there's so many different age groups that are there. I mean, you go to Orlando and you go downtown to Florida, well, you have, you know, the college groups and things like that, but you don't necessarily have the older demographic that lives in downtown. They may, you may get a percentage of them, but, you know, a lot of the younger people like the hustle and bustle of downtown and enjoy going out to downtown social late at night, or like going out to the bullpen past, you know, 11:30 p.m. and things like that. I mean, your demographic, especially in Glens Falls, can literally evolve from 5 a.m. to 12 a.m. It's just the way that it is. I mean, I can speak from experience also working at the Glens Falls YMCA. Our demographic changed in the morning. You had the older demographic coming in for their aqua classes in the morning, but then the younger people came in during, you know, either on their lunch break or after school. And, you know, then you got the wave of kids that came in after, literally after school and things like that. And then obviously, but your demographic will change in a couple of weeks when people are home for Thanksgiving. The bars are going to be open later on the day before Thanksgiving. The Thunder have their big game. Like, a lot of people ask me, well, why do the Thunder play the day before Thanksgiving, or why do they play on Black Friday? Because those are marquee big games for them, and they know that they are going to get into the black by the end of the year because they know their marketing. They know their niche of what is successful.
Exactly. You know, and an organization like that has to know, you know, because you could spend so much money on the wrong thing. So you mentioned sponsorship, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about because I have some experience with that too. I like to support local organizations. So I shouldn't say this probably, but if it's a lowish amount of money, I'd pretty much sponsor anything because I just like to support. And if you're out there, you're out there, and it doesn't really matter. And I don't pay a lot of attention to the results from those. But if it's more significant money, then you want to make sure you're going to get a return on that. So say it's a golf outing. Because I thought that would be a good one for me, because there'd be a lot of business people that would be playing golf, especially if it's a charity golf outing, because it generally are other businesses that get up teams to do that. So, you know, there's usually opportunities for that. But you need to make sure that you're getting a return on it. But I think also you might need to also participate and be there to make the most of it. So I'd sponsor a number of different Big Brother, Big Sister events, because I'm going to also be volunteering there or to be attending and be a part of it. Same thing with chamber things. But it's important to do it strategically and to think, is my audience going to be there? Is that going to really benefit my business? So then when it comes to, say, deciding on your social media, which channels, you know, because you don't want to spread yourself too thin, especially starting out, and especially if you don't have staff or if you're not going to outsource it. You're limited in time. So pick the ones that are key to your audience, one or two, or kill it in one and then maybe go to another one to see. And look at your analytics. Like Facebook has Facebook Insights for pages.
Which are getting more difficult and difficult to find out by the day.
Yeah, well, Google completely changed, like, their analytics, and people are like, what? Like, and I know a lot of professionals don't even bother looking at those analytics anymore, because now you got to do a lot more work to find the information that you wanted. Like, in the video I did earlier today on tools for doing research, I didn't even bother logging into analytics to show people, because, A, that's kind of private information for my clients I don't want to give out, and it's hard to do when you're doing a quick video to hide stuff, but also, like, so many people just aren't using it anymore, but it's important to have those analytics. Like, they can also show you, like, where visitors to your website are coming from, which countries. There are ways to filter out spam traffic, which is a big problem, and that's another reason why a lot of people don't look at their analytics, because if, like, 50% of your traffic's coming from Russia, chances are those are all bots, and you can filter it out. It takes a little bit of time, but that's why it's important to maybe hire someone technical that can handle that stuff for you instead of trying to do it yourself.
Especially at the radio station, I mean, we have our streaming numbers, we have sponsorships within our streaming. We take a look at our social media analytics, and we have so much social media, which is a good problem to have, but, you know, we kind of take a look at, okay, what works, what doesn't work, and where do we kind of focus our most time with it, per se. And I think we've done a lot of different on-air content being posted to our social media probably within the last 6 or 7 to 8 months or so of, you know, hey, if you missed this segment, well, we have this thing at the radio station that we can record on. So we record our segments, and the sponsor gets happy because they get the extra kind of added value within the social media post, which is nice and friendly. But, you know, it's just nice and easy to look at, okay, I've grown our Facebook audience through all three stations, and I've grown the podcasting and the SoundCloud, and looking at all of these different options saying, wow, it's actually really cool to really take a look at it. So I completely understand where you're coming from when you look at your analytics and break everything down. You know, you mentioned kind of the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and, you know, volunteering and being there. I mean, I was a Big Brother in high school, and I still maintained those relationships even now. And I think that that's also important when you take a look at everything and you put a nice bow on it for your business.
Yeah, those things are important. I mean, you have your core values as a person and as a family, but you also have to have those sorts of things for your business, and they have to all align. Like, we were talking before about who is your target audience, and, you know, some people have to decide and ensure, when you can ensure that it's part of your personal core values as well as your business core values, that all that lines up, it just makes things go more smoothly. Things kind of line up, you know, whether it's the universe lining things up or it's you doing it yourself. That's all important to think about. And with the where, too. Like, if you're if your target audience are in places that you're going to be already, that's going to make it a lot easier. So, like, I like to go to trivia and I like to go to karaoke, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot of business people in that, or like my new passion for dance fitness. There are actually a lot of self-employed dance fitness instructors. So I see that as a really good market, and I don't think that's going to turn away people, as some may have thought.
And you get to travel, too, while doing it as well. So you get to see new sites and connect with new people, which is super important. Connecting and putting yourself out there. And you mentioned, you know, the golf events. I think the big thing is just sponsoring a tee hole, I think, is the greatest thing, because they see your logo. And then, you know, if you just hang out there and maybe you hang out, you know, at the tee box and so-and-so, and now somebody goes, hey, who are you? And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm the owner of the business that's on, you know, the yard sign. I sponsored this tee hole. So,
well, TD Bank sponsored the last ARCC mixer, and they had pint glasses, customized pint glasses for that event. So I'm walking around holding up saying, this is the way to sponsor an event, right? Because yep. I love that pint glass, because having lived in the UK and Ireland, pint glasses are used all the time. And you drink your water out of your, you know, you're getting a good dose of water there. But, yeah, so they had the logos for the ARCC and their own, and a little something about the event. So they had those glasses made for that event. So I'm like, yeah, that's the way to sponsor an event. Cause it's not just then. And I, like, I've sponsored things where they said, like, oh, you're going to be mentioned in all of our social media posts and any print advertising we do. And then, like, they didn't do any social media for it after the fact. And I'm like, yeah, I might not do this next year, you know? So you got to think about those things. Like, there's a lot. They make promises and they don't always carry them out. So I think it's getting to know the organizations that you're dealing with too. And consider that when you are doing these things yourself, like, how do you want to be treated? So we talked about all the various aspects of where, geographically where, offline, online, what channels are they, what clubs and associations they belong to, so that you can make sure that your message is in the right places. So make sure to listen in to the next episode where we talk about when. So if you were interested in what you heard today and think that it might help you with your business and want to know how to find out more, go to playcentric.com. And while you're there, you can book an initial call with me. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you at least 3 ways that you can get more customers and increase sales to grow your business. And you might want to consider my new marketing strategy bootcamp, which is a day-long session with me. So give me a day and we can transform your business. So don't forget, go to playcentric.com. And if you're not going to book a call, sign up for my mailing list and you'll find out when each podcast episode is coming out and get some other really helpful information.